present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us for what is the last in the current series. The English language doesn't have the right words to describe how we all feel at this news. Sad, tearful, desolated. Well, I told you English didn't have the right words. We're back for a second week at the famous Almeida Theatre in Islington, an area that has for centuries had connections with artists and writers. It was here that Daniel Defoe was working on early drafts of Robinson Crusoe when he found himself wanting for a character name. Glancing round his study, his eye fell upon a calendar, and a particular day inspired him to name the native sidekick Man Pancake. Let me introduce the team. You know, in the glitzy world of showbiz, there's a select handful of stars who are immediately recognized simply by the mention of their first names, like Madonna, Cliff, or Elvis. So, please welcome our teams. Tim Brooke Taylor. Barry Cryer. Graham Garden. And Sandy Toksvig. And a warm welcome for our lovely assistant who's always on the lookout for a score, the delightful Samantha. Okay, on with the games. The first is called Unhelpful Advice, and will be familiar to everyone who remembers those public information campaigns that were around for many years. For example, the coughs and sneezes spread diseases posters that first appeared in 1665 did little to prevent the Great Plague of London, as so few bronchial rats could read. And the more recent warning to wear something white at night will have been less than appreciated by anyone who was consequently run over by a snowplow. Teams, in this round, I'd like you to play the role of tour guides and suggest some examples of unhelpful advice for the first-time visitor to Britain. Tim, will you start, please?
When visiting Harrods, do ask the head of stationery, Mr. Alfayard, where he keeps his brown envelope. Little bit of satire, fair enough. That's okay.
Barry.
Millwall fans are known as fairies.
That was Barry Cryer who said it first.
Jokingly.
Oh, sorry. I'm so overexcited I got into a coma. It's too thrilling to join the long list of women who've been on this show. let's see. Thank you. Oh, it's a nasty sound of wind from you, Tim.
It was during the war. They were all in the factories.
Oh, right. Unhelpful advice. You can time your journey by checking the timetable posted at any bus stop.
It's considered bad form to fall asleep in the theatre. So book a few wake-up calls on your mobile phone.
Visit the Almeida Theatre, Islington, and enjoy their regular afternoon bingo.
People in a queue are actually waiting for you to go first.
Genuine Rolex watches are so in demand, they're sold on the streets before they can reach the shops.
Outside Buckingham Palace, it's customary to shout, "We want Fergie!"
Taxi driving is a lonely life. Encourage drivers to share their opinions.
Surefire way to start a conversation with an Englishman is, you must be very excited about your Millennium Dome.
We'll move on now to a musical favourite called Pick Up Song, where the team sing along to a selection of gramophone recordings. As usual, DJ Samantha is in the house and giving it large. She's spent the morning down in the record archive with the sound engineers sampling some fine 7 inches for us. Which is ready to spin on the turntable. The team should sing along to the music until, at my signal, Samantha reduces the modulated frequency of the amplitude signal to noise ratio by a process known technically as twisting the knob. At that point, the sound will disappear, but the singer should continue all the while attempting to keep in time. If on its return they're within a gnat's piccolo of the original, I'll be awarding points. That's going to sound great at home. This week's prize is just the thing to ride around Paris on. Oh, God, the grammar in this. This week's prize is just the thing on which to ride around Paris when doing the... when doing the Victor Hugo tour. It's this economical 1.6-litre hunchback. Graham, I'd like you to start by accompanying Dean Martin singing That's Amore.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Come on, sir, come on.
Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella.
Vita Bella.
Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarantella.
Whoops. Come on, we're going home now, come on.
When the stars make you drool just like pasta.
Barry now, and would you please accompany Roger Daltrey and The Who singing My Generation.
Because we get around.
Die before I get old. A bit late for that. This is my generation. This is my generation, baby.
Yes, of course it is.
Why don't you all fade away?
Yes,
don't try to dig what we all sisters say.
Now, where do you live?
I'm trying to tell us a bit of a sensation. Just talking about my generation with William Hagen for Fion. My generation. Help! My generation.
Yeah, I've got news for you. That was the next track. Sandy, would you accompany Charmaine Carr singing I'm 16 going on 17 from The Sound of Music?
I'm 16 going on 17. I know that I'm naive. Fellows I meet may tell me I'm sweet, and willingly I believe.
You're sweet, Sandy.
I'm 16, going on 17, innocent as a rose. Bachelor dandies, drinkers of brandies, what do I know of those? Totally unprepared am I to face a world of men. Signature tune, though, I think.
Finally, Tim, would you please accompany Los Lobos singing their version of the popular Hispanic favourite La Bamba?
felicity and una poca de gracia. Una poca de gracia para me, para. Y arriba. Y arriba. Potisseri. Io non sono marinero. Io non sono marinero. Sono capitan. Bamba.
Well, it's time now for a traditional round of sound charades. The game of charades is, of course, older than language itself. Anthropologists relate that our predecessor Homo erectus would while away endless hours trying to communicate using just a series of rudimentary mimes and gestures. His fellow cavemen would then have to guess which popular film title he was attempting to convey. Since it was inevitably Planet of the Apes, the game largely failed to catch on until a couple of millennia later. Well, like the traditional game of charades, the team should act out well-known film, book, plays, or program titles for the opposing team to guess. Except in our version, panelists are permitted the use of their mouths. Tim and Sandy, you're to start. Your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board. For those of you at home, here's the mystery voice.
E-R. E-R.
Okay, what is it, a book, a play, or what?
It's a television program with two letters. And it goes like this.
The Prime Minister to see you, Your Majesty.
Hello. Let me just slip on a coat. Philip, don't do that. I said don't.
Hello, Your Majesty. Grovel, new labour, new smile, new relationship.
New Windsor, new castle.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you want me to sign this?
Oh, that's very kind of you, but it might tickle. Piece of paper, ma'am.
Shall I fill in my own name?
No, if you could just initial it.
Okay.
Oh, we're just adrift here, aren't we?
Yeah.
E.
Time's up.
E.
Your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title is now being exhibited on the laser display screen, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Watchdog. Watchdog.
This is television.
One word.
Oh. Ah, Hamish. Oh.
You'll have had your tea, Dougal.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've just had my aforementioned tea.
Oh, good.
What's the time, by the way?
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
What was that? Your sleeve is barking.
Oh, no, not my sleeve, Dougal. It wasn't my sleeve, it was this.
By the beard of Moira Anderson.
No. No, thanks, I've already got one.
Oh. What is that strap to your wrist?
Oh, this is... it's a wee chihuahua.
And it tells the time.
It does, it does, Dougal. Its movement is guaranteed. Oh, there it goes. Look.
Rolex?
No, he's been to the vet.
Oh. What is this canine chronometer called?
Could it possibly be Watchdog?
Yes.
Our next round is entitled Call My Bluff, and it's a version of the popular TV panel game which our special guest Sandy Toksvig has done so much to revive. Indeed, I would go as far as to say that in the rarefied world of this new age Call My Bluff, there is only one true diva, only one prima donna of prima donnas, resplendent in designer twin set bouffant hair glistening with stardust. But sadly, Bob Holness couldn't be with us. So he sent Sandy instead. In this round, I'd like each panellist to provide a definition of an obscure word, and it'll be my job to guess which one is the true meaning. OK, the word is... Cantankerous. Start with you, Sandy.
I was in Peru the other day due to a terrible misunderstanding with a driver on the Northern Line. And I wasn't feeling entirely clever. I had applied for a job with the Harlem Globetrotters and I think for quite spurious reasons been turned down. So I was feeling a little sad and I was walking through the jungle and a man appeared in front of me. He was quite startling looking and he held up his hands and he'd got blotchy blue stains all over his hands and I thought, Inca. And he began to sing, and it was rather a magical song, and it has a magical effect on you, the song of the Incas. And I grew tall, and I could play basketball with the rest of them. And the correct term for this magical song is the Canta Incarus.
Graham.
Right, well, we're all familiar with kangaroos. From time to time, and as we all know, kangaroos carry their young, or their joeys, in a pouch. It's a hard life for a joey, the mother kangaroo bounding across the outback and suddenly goes slap into a eucalyptus tree. Goodbye, joey. Now, what's generally not known is that kangaroos have a more successful cousin. And these creatures are superior because they have their pouch at the back. So they can say goodbye to squashed joey misery. And you seldom see these creatures. They're very shy. They have very low self-esteem. But sometimes in the dead of night, as you creep down to the dunny for a quick rolf... you'll hear a rustling in the scrub. And there you'll see a flock of cantankaroos hopping past. A cantankaroo is a kangaroo with a hip pocket. True.
Jim, come with me, if you will, to the more desert areas of the American Midwest, where water is scarce and your average gardener doesn't so much water the plants as drowns them. These properties are so huge that he or she, or even Native American Indian person, doesn't want to keep walking back to refill the water container from the main cistern. So, you're keeping up with me. So, by means of a long hose attached to one end, the cistern, or tank, he has a continuous flow of water to his watering can. This became his can tank, a device so popular that a chain of franchise retailers sprang up under the name of Can Tank R Us. The franchise name is now applied to many items, rather like Levi's. So today, cantankerous means overpriced rubbish.
Barry.
With great respect to my colleagues, totally irrelevant. Immanuel Kant, the German philosopher, 1724 to 1804, bonus number 27. Author of Critique of Pure Reason, Critique of Practical Reason, and Dead Blondes Don't Bleed. Believed in the freedom of man to make his own decisions and disagreed violently with anyone who didn't share that belief. He was an anti-Lutheran, though his lack of personal hygiene, he rarely bathed. Anti-Lutheran might have been more apt. Quarrelsome, bad-tempered. To be fair, people are always misspelling his surname. And a sufferer from both alopecia and bad luck. He bought a book on hair care and all the pages fell out. Summed up pithily in his last school report, Kant rancorous. Quarrelsome or allergic to loofers.
Right. Graham.
What?
Are you the real... Is it your answer? Is it your... Are you...
Well done, Graham.
Now it's time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first of all, I have to announce the result of our Mornington Crescent Good Housekeeping Competition. And the winning card out of the hat is from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales, who writes, "Dear Mr. Melly, here's a great tip for removing any annoying little hairs that collect in the bath plug hole. Tempt them up with a carrot and then pull them out by their long floppy ears. Many thanks, Mrs. Trellis. That was very helpful. OK, on with the game, teams. And since we're in Islington, located, as it happens, neatly between Gibson's Parallel and Mildmay's opening, I think we'll play according to the original modern rules. So, no squaring off on the blind side. Euston Road can only be approached from the west, and Soho is out of bounds.
Is out of bounds, Soho?
Is out of bounds.
Thank you.
Is that Mildmay's opening from 84 or 85?
84.
Thank you.
Tim, will you start, please?
Nuttall Street.
Holloway Road.
Dagenham East.
I don't think you can.
Oh,
can't do that.
She's new.
I thought you said Gibson's Parallel.
Let that one through.
We'll let that through. Yeah, we'll let it through.
What's going on?
Okay, Baron's Court.
Shoreditch.
Oh.
Farringdon Street.
Hang on.
It's actually okay.
Is it?
Yeah.
What if I
follow
go
that first
up the Wickham Lane?
Yeah, very good.
Okay, Upper Wickham Lane.
Excellent. I don't know why they're clapping, it's a bit obvious, really, isn't it? Fairlop.
Shooter's Hill.
In one.
Mornington Crescent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Time now for a glorious old musical curiosity called Swanee Kazoo. You know, when I think of all those fine combinations that seem to have been literally meant for one another, strawberries and cream, oysters and champagne, trumpets and magnetic sexual attraction. There are few that can match the sheer majesty of the combination of kazoo and Swanee whistle. On the one hand, the haunting lyricism of the Swanee whistle, and on the other, the startling rasp of the kazoo. Oh, the sheer thrill of it. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to provide renditions of some popular duets on these two fine instruments. Musical accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell, who many listeners may remember from the 1970s when he played the mouth organ in Black Lace. It's still known as one of the worst novelty drag acts ever to appear. Barry and Graham, you're to start. Would you please perform Summer Nights from the musical Grease with Barry Cryer on the kazoo and Graham Garden on the Swanee whistle? Now you, Tim and Sandy, would you please perform Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Sandy Toksvig on kazoo and Tim Brooke-Taylor on Swanee whistle? It's just occurred to me that Samantha hasn't given us the score since 1981. Well, it's very nearly time to say goodbye, but not before the Old Testament Ball. So, teams, I'll ask you now to begin announcing the late arrivals at the Old Testament Ball. And, Sandy, will you start us off, please?
Yes. Mr. and Mrs. Goodness and Mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and their daughter Shirley.
Will you welcome, please?
Yes, welcome.
Mr. and Mrs. Fit de Battle ob Jericho.
And their son, Joshua, and his brother, Hunt.
Mr. and Mrs. 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. And their son, Sam, 121.
Over there by the pillar, Mr. and Mrs. Lott. Oh, sorry, that is Mrs. Lott.
A warm welcome, please, for Mr. and Mrs. Bennett, lads. This burning fiery furnace is hot. And their son... their son, Gordon Bennett, lads. Burning fiery furnace is hot.
And we're delighted to have with us Mr. and Mrs. Abim and their daughter Cher, accompanied by Mr. and Mrs. Fim and their daughter Sarah.
From Newcastle, would you please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Tyne, their daughter Phyllis.
Why not relax at the bar? Where you can have a Jeroboam or a can of Israel Light. Ron and I are running the bar. If there's anything wrong, it's due to Ron and me.
And there's Mr. and Mrs. Lila and their cousin Sam. And there's Sam's son, Andy Lila.
Delighted to see Mr. and Mrs. Noah, plus two more. Sorry, four more. No, six more.
Rather grandly, will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. DeMighty Fallen. And their son, Howard DeMighty Fallen.
Oh, there's Tara Babel. Hello, Tara.
It's cabaret time.
With
Abba Cuck.
And Ruby Murray. We were going to get Norman Wisdom, but the price of wisdom is above rubies.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as the spectacular shag of time wheels high over the rock face of eternity before being sucked into the Pratt & Whitney jet engine of destiny, I notice it's the end of the show. So, from Samantha, the teams, myself and the good and cultured folk of Islington, it's goodbye.
Deborah Taylor, Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Sandy Toksvig were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.